No Talent Left Behind by Jesse Goldberg Strassler. At precisely 10 a.m., Principal Paige Spelling strode to the microphone. The parents packed into the multipurpose room showered her with applause. Principal Spelling smiled warmly. It is with great pleasure that I welcome all of you to the Nickleby Elementary School Talent Show. These students have been preparing a long time for this day. You should be very proud of them. She checked her program. First up, Mrs. Wilkerson's kindergartners. The parents applauded again. Mrs. Wilkerson took the microphone. I have been so blessed this year, she gushed. Her kindergarten class quietly filed in and went to their desks, each one holding one finger over her or his mouth in the universal sign for shh. Mrs. Wilkerson passed out three worksheets and pointed to the clock. 30 minutes. As the parents watched, the kindergartners worked diligently on their worksheets without a single girl or boy saying a word or leaving her or his seat. It appeared for a brief, tense moment as if Ariel Carnaseca needed to go to the bathroom, but she held it in. At the end of 30 minutes, the class stood and took a bow. The parents cheered. Mrs. Wilkerson's kindergartners were replaced at the desks by Mr. McGinley's first graders, who took out their number two pencils and received answer sheets from Mr. McGinley. Each one carefully and legibly wrote her or his name at the top. Mr. and Mrs. Thanasikolwit, Mr. and Mrs. Alami Yasega, and Mr. and Mrs. Schroeder Rasmussen all held their breath. Mr. McGinley raised the microphone up to match his great height and leaned toward it. We shall be demonstrating our ability to fill in our answer bubbles completely, he intoned impressively. He held up one of the answer sheets, indicating the bubbles next to each question. A bubble needs to be fully filled in. It cannot be partly filled in, nor can it be filled outside the lines. He waggled his eyebrows dramatically. Go! The first graders launched into their bubble filling with gusto, pencils scratching furiously, graphite flying. There was a gasp from the parents. Michael Cortez had grown overeager in his bubble filling and had mistakenly made a mark outside one of the bubbles. Mrs. Cortez covered her eyes. Mr. Cortez turned away. Mr. McGinley remained implacable, simply offering a firm nod to the boy. Michael cautiously turned the pencil over in his fingers and rubbed at the mark with his eraser. It disappeared rapidly, and the crowd of parents breathed easier. Mrs. Cortez uncovered her eyes. Mr. Cortez turned back around. The answer sheets, the parents saw, were more difficult than they initially appeared. The bubbles grew and shrank in size throughout, daunting several of the first graders. You're doing great, cried out Mrs. Himmelfarb to her daughter Maria. Keep going! Other parents heard Mrs. Himmelfarb's motivational words and shouted out their own encouragement to their children. Go, Jeffrey! Come on, Khalil! Fill that bubble, Philip! At the end of 45 minutes, the entire crowd was hollering as each child neared the end of the answer sheet. Then all pencils stopped moving, and the parents went silent. Mr. McGinley leaned into the microphone. Let's find out how our bubblers fared. He collected the answer sheets, scanned through each one, and jubilantly waved them in the air. Perfectly bubbled, every single one! The first graders stood and took a bow as their parents roared. Adorably elfin Ms. Bailey went up to the microphone next, pulling it all the way down to her mouth. Of course I'd have to follow Mr. McGinley, she joked, drawing a healthy burst of laughter. Her second grade class filtered in and sat obediently at their desks as Principal Spellings joined Ms. Bailey at the microphone. Ms. Bailey's class will be learning their entire year's worth of science curriculum today, freeing up the rest of the year for reading and mathematics. The parents oohed. Ms. Bailey passed out the science textbooks. Please read pages 18 to 206, answering the questions at the end of each section, she wrote on the whiteboard. Your class has 1 hour, Ms. Bailey, Principal Spellings reminded her. Sweat glistened on Ms. Bailey's forehead as she walked around the classroom, checking on her students' progress. 15 minutes in, only 10 of the 23 students had made their way through living and non-living systems. 30 minutes in, only 6 students had begun learning how a plant grows. Parents shifted in their seats. Ms. Bailey moved quicker and more frantically between students with raised hands. Her efforts paid dividends. At the 45-minute mark, the entire class was reading and answering questions, with complete answers no less, about different types of biomes. An excited hum swept through the parents. Principal Spellings kept a close eye on the clock. 5-minute warning, she called out. Ms. Bailey exhaustedly made her way back to the whiteboard. As you finish, please close your textbook and return it to the rack, she managed. The request caused an extraordinary sight, student after student closing her or his textbook, standing quietly, and walking in an orderly fashion to the rack to return the textbooks. Parents' jaws fell open. Every textbook was carefully put away, and every student was sitting quietly back at her or his desk a full minute ahead of the time limit's expiration. The performance received a unanimous standing ovation. Principal Spellings had to wait quite a while for the overwhelming applause to subside before she could announce a 20-minute break for lunch. The parents stood and milled about before forming a ragged sort of line into the cafeteria kitchen, where they received a small carton of milk, a small container of applesauce, tater tots, and a rectangular slice of warmish pizza. By the time all of the parents received their lunch, they only had 7 more minutes to eat. Vice Principal Christina Kennedy informed them that if they spent less time talking and more time eating, they'd have no problem finishing their lunch on schedule. Shortly thereafter, it was time for recess, and the parents headed outside to play with their children. Corey Handelman's father had the bright idea of getting a soccer game together, but they had barely played for 5 minutes before the whistle blew to call everyone back inside. It was time for the second act of the Nickleby Elementary School talent show. Mr. Lane's third graders took their seats at the desks, took out their binders and pencils, and then waited patiently until the crowd of parents settled down. Principal Spellings gave Mr. Lane a signal, and he walked up to the microphone and cleared his throat. The third grade has been working on critical reading skills. We'll be comparing and contrasting The Great Gilly Hopkins by Katherine Patterson with The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The parents clapped with appreciation as the novels were passed out to the third graders. All of the students began reading The Great Gilly Hopkins, making notes on the main ideas they came across and the details that helped them determine those ideas. Dwayne Godfrey was the first student to begin drawing conclusions as to what he believed would happen in subsequent chapters, causing his parents to whoop wildly. Emma Hardesty's mother nudged Joshua Randall's mother. Katherine Patterson wrote Bridge to Terabithia, too. The movie? Mrs. Randall was impressed. Most of the class had now made their way through The Great Gatsby, and ideas were sparking. Melanie King delved into the differences between Gilly's narration and Nick Carraway's narration. Andy Evans wrote in looping script about the morality questions in each book, specifically quoting Jordan Baker's golfing unscrupulousness. Tara Porter held forth with her pencil on the conclusions of both novels, comparing the disappointment dealt to Gilly by her mother with the disappointment dealt to Jay Gatsby by Daisy Buchanan. The parents began to stand, caught up in the gathering momentum of the critical reading skills being demonstrated before them. Mr. and Mrs. King initiated a slow clap, and it swept around the multipurpose room, building in volume with more rapidity and force than the flu bug in November. Alyssa Bosky was the last to finish, applying the icing on the cake with a deft comparison of the racism in The Great Gilly Hopkins with the classism in The Great Gatsby. It was such a stunningly brilliant observation that Mr. Bosky swooned into the arms of Mrs. Bosky. Mr. Lane grabbed for the microphone. The third grade! Alyssa and her classmates took a deep bow. The crowd went nuts. Principal Spellings gave the parents several more minutes to exercise their vocal cords before assuming a serious expression. Excuse me. The parents quieted. The next class requires absolute silence. Thank you. The parents whispered to one another with great anticipation as Mrs. Gingold's fourth graders entered the room, each one sitting quietly down at a desk and taking out a pair of pencils. Not a single pencil was poorly sharpened or of a non-number two variety. Mrs. Gingold went to the microphone. We shall perform the mathematics section of the assessment test for you. Jenny Osborne's father let out a low whistle. Mrs. Gingold passed out the test, then looked at the clock on the wall and wrote the time on the whiteboard. "You have 45 minutes. Begin." With the exception of the rustling of paper or scratching of pencils, a taut silence hung over the multipurpose room. There were a few nervous jitters at first. Tanya Stewart almost forgot to read a whole question carefully, and Paul Rosen nearly lost his positive attitude at the sight of a complicated problem. Both steadied themselves. In the front row, R.J. Johnson completed all of the easiest problems first, while skipping the problems that confused him. "We taught him that," Mrs. Johnson murmured to the parents seated around them. Meanwhile, Henry Varner eliminated all multiple-choice answers that he knew were false, allowing him to make guesses with a better probability of being correct. It took all of Mr. Varner's willpower not to pump his fist proudly. In the back row, Mary Beth Jeffries finished her test first and checked all of her answers to make sure she had not committed any careless mistakes. Mr. and Mrs. Jeffries high-fived one another. The rest of the students were unperturbed by Mary Beth's early finish, admirably continuing to work at their own pace. Principal Spellings gave Mrs. Gingold a big thumbs up for this. At the end of 45 minutes, Mrs. Gingold collected the answer sheets and checked the scores. Everyone, students and parents alike, held their breath. Then the verdict came. "The class passed!" shouted Mrs. Gingold. The multipurpose room erupted in ecstasy. Parents danced in the aisles. Students danced at their desks. It was pandemonium everywhere. Streamers and balloons fell from the ceiling. Mr. and Mrs. Rosen picked up Paul and paraded him around in his chair. Mr. Gingold emerged from the throng and planted an enormous kiss on Mrs. Gingold's cheek. Principal Spellings hugged Vice Principal Kennedy. A fleet of pizza delivery trucks pulled up outside and delivered cheese and pepperoni pizzas to everyone. In the midst of it all, a new chant arose. "Fifth grade! Fifth grade!" "That's right," realized Maria Himmelfarb's mother. "What about the fifth grade?" "Fifth grade! Fifth grade!" Principal Spellings fought her way to the microphone. A hush fell. Mr. Joyner's fifth grade class has been hard at work in their homeroom during the entirety of this talent show. You can find them in room 14, but I ask that you please not disturb their efforts. "Why?" shouted Emma Hardesty's mother. "What are they doing?" Principal Spellings paused dramatically. "They are filling out their college applications!" And pandemonium reigned once more.